Acts chapter 3, verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Time out. Remember from last week, Peter and John walk him to the temple. On the way there, there's a lame man. He says, Can you give me something? And Peter says, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man rose to his feet. And the Bible says, And walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple. This amazing miracle happened. Everybody ran together to see what was going on. And Peter began to preach to them. Verse number 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. As we go through this, I want you to remember the setting. I want you to remember that just a few weeks ago, Jesus was crucified. It was just a few weeks ago that the high priest and the other priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees got together and they held a mock trial and they accused Jesus of things he didn't do and they accused him of blasphemy and they took him before Pilate and Pilate wanted to let him go but the Jews said, no, crucify him. Pilate said, I can release a prisoner to you. I'll release whichever one you want and I can release to you Jesus or I can release to you Barabbas. And they said, we don't want Jesus. We want Barabbas, crucify Jesus. And that was just a few weeks ago. And now Peter is back at the temple preaching about Jesus, the most unpopular person in some of these people's eyes. Now, he's popular in some people's eyes, but in the eyes of the leadership, in the eyes of the religious leaders, in the eyes of the government leaders, in so many people's eyes, he was very unpopular. But Peter just decided, I'm going to preach. Verse 14, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Okay, stop here for just a second. We're reading the Bible, but he's preaching it to them. Can you imagine? You desired a murderer to be released to you. Can you imagine him preaching that to the people? He's standing there. This man has just been healed. There's this group of lots of people around him, and he's saying, you just killed Jesus. And you just let Barabbas go instead. And I don't know that he pointed his finger because the Bible doesn't say that he did. But he says that word, you did this. You did. Don't you hate being accused of something? Verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot, the word wot often is the word know. I wot, or I know, that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Okay, now he's not just saying you killed him, but you're ignorant. Don't you love it when somebody tells you that? You did it through ignorance, and then so did your rulers. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, so that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God had made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Whoa, you killed Jesus. You need to turn from your sin. You chose a murderer instead, and you did it because you're ignorant. Look what happens in chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Listen, Jesus isn't popular. Peter and John went up to the temple, and it wasn't long after Jesus was crucified and rose again and all that happened, and they came and they are preaching Jesus. Now, Jesus gets popular for short times until people find out that he isn't what they think he is. If you remember the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus fed these 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They wanted to make him king. The Bible says that he went away and he went up in the mountain to pray, sent his disciples over. He was already king, whether they made him king or not. But they thought, here's the one that can provide for all of our needs. Here's the one that can take care of us. He can bring the kingdom. He is what we need because he's going to provide for what we want. A short time later, they called out to Pilate for him to be crucified. So he was popular maybe for a while. Politicians are a good example of this. Sometimes they'll claim to be Christians when they think that being a Christian will help them get the vote. Now, some of them are really Christians. The ones who are really Christians are Christians even when they aren't running for office. And true Christians are still Christians when being a follower of Jesus hurts their campaign. They just decide, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm a Christian, that's who I am. Sometimes Jesus is popular, sometimes he's not. For the most part, he's not, though. Generally, and among the general public, Jesus is popular whenever it can get something for somebody. A Christian is a Christian even when being a Christian is unpopular. Cleveland Browns fans understand this. Not about being a Christian particularly, but about being loyal to somebody even though nobody else likes them. Right? Okay. They cheer for their team even though most of the team is unpopular. Right now, there's more Philadelphia Eagles fans than normal. They won the Super Bowl last year. And every year, there's a new group of fans that like the popular teams, and we call that getting on the bandwagon. Unfortunately, most Christians follow Jesus like people follow sports teams, and it's when he's popular. Sometimes it's popular to be a Christian. I don't remember this time, but I remember reading about this time whenever the term born again became a very popular term, and politicians were all saying that they were born again. Now, being an evangelical is the term. I'm an evangelical, and that's the popular term, and that's what all across America, that's what so many people are. We're evangelical Christians. So many people will say that's what they are as long as it's popular. Jesus, Brother Smallwood's trying to call back. We'll talk to him later. Jesus isn't popular unless among Christians. A pastor was asked to pray to open a legislative session. I don't remember all the details of the story, but he on purpose avoided saying the name of Jesus. Afterwards, someone asked him why he didn't say the name of Jesus in his prayer, and he said, well, the name of Jesus is unpopular, and you just learn to work around that. That's just where we are. In chapter 3, verses 14 through 26, we read this as Peter's preaching, and he preached the truth, even though it was unpopular. We'll see how God blesses that in just a little bit, but I want you to see it. Peter told them, God healed this man through his son, Jesus. He didn't just say through his name. No, I want to challenge you. When you pray, the Bible says pray in Jesus' name. Don't let anybody pressure you into just saying in your name, amen. I mean, you pray however you want to pray. I remember feeling that pressure. I worked at a Boy Scout camp and they pressured us. They said, don't pray in the name of Jesus because that offends some people. Peter's preaching and he said, the same Jesus you delivered to the Romans to kill, the same Jesus you denied in the presence of Pilate. When Pilate was determined to let Jesus go, you refused his offer. I mean, this was not popular preaching. He wasn't tickling ears. I think, is that the right way to say it? Is that the term? Sometimes I get my phrases mixed up and they come out really wrong. Tickling ears, is that the right one? Okay, so he wasn't just trying to make people happy. He wasn't just trying to preach a cotton candy, fluffy sermon. He's preaching the truth, even though he knew it wasn't a popular truth to preach. You killed Jesus, the Prince of Life. You asked Pilate to release Barabbas, the murderer, instead of Jesus. This is all his sermon. He didn't write it down and leave it somewhere for them to find after he was gone. He was preaching it to them right then. He didn't just say it on Facebook where you can say it almost anonymously. It doesn't really matter what people say because they're not there. He was there and he was preaching to these people even though it wasn't popular. He said, faith in the name of Jesus is what healed this man. Then he said, I know that you killed Jesus through ignorance and your rulers were ignorant too. I don't think he meant that as a slam on them. It's just saying, Maybe this is the reason why. Maybe even as almost an excuse. I understand that you didn't realize that this was Jesus, the Prince of Life, but he was. Jesus, he preached, fulfilled the prophecies that were made by your prophets about how he would suffer. You need to turn to God and get saved so that your sins will be forgiven. What a statement. That's in verse 19. Let me look at verse 19. I'm going to read that to you. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I love that he didn't pull any punches. He just spoke the truth. He preached the truth, even though it wasn't popular. Then he said this, Jesus is in heaven right now. And Jesus is coming back. And every person who rejects Jesus will be destroyed. He continued and said, all the prophets spoke about Jesus. And God sent Jesus to give you a blessing and to separate you or save you from your sins. And he just preached it. He just said it like it was, and it was the truth. I don't think you ought to say things mean on purpose just to offend somebody. That's not what he was doing. He's just preaching the truth. The problem that we have is so many of us, we want to be popular. We want to be liked so much that we just decide, I can just ignore that part. I can get around that part. I won't say that part because I don't want to offend somebody. Now, if it's me offending somebody, that's wrong. If my breath offends somebody, that's wrong. I'll need to borrow that vial of breath mints. If my disposition offends somebody because I'm a jerk, that's not right. But if the truth that is preached offends somebody, that's okay. I'm not trying to offend people. I don't believe God is trying to offend people, but he's going to be telling the truth. As a Sunday school teacher, make sure we tell the truth. As a preacher, make sure we tell the truth. As a soul winner, make sure we tell the truth. We don't have to sugar. Now, we can be tactful. We don't have to sugarcoat the truth, but let's be tactful. I believe one of the reasons God blessed Peter was because he just told the truth. Now, many people believed what Peter said, and they trusted Jesus as their Savior. But the Bible says not everybody believed. And you know, there's usually a group that doesn't believe when the Bible is preached. In this case, it was the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees. That was the same mob that led, the same people that led the mob to crucify Jesus. And I don't think it shocked Peter and John that these people were offended and these people didn't believe. It had only been a few weeks since Jesus had been falsely accused and executed. I don't know that Peter and John knew what they were walking into, but I have a feeling that they had an idea. They crucified Jesus. What are they going to do to us? What would they do to us if we come through and we are promoting the same one that they were so jealous of that they killed? What are they going to do to us as his followers? They preached the truth even though it was unpopular. Last week, I preached about not ignoring needy people. You may have been here for that message, and we were all just kind of tired last week. I don't know that everybody was. A lot of us were just tired last week. I preached them, Larissa, we were tired last week, weren't we, right? The ladies had spent all night in a van on the side of the road, and they were just, and I'm saying that I'm tired, but I know that they were tired. I preached this message, and some of you saw what happened afterwards, and I preached about not ignoring needy people, because Peter and John went up to the temple, and this man asked them for alms, and Peter said, I can't help you with money, but I'll give you what I've got. And he healed him. And so right after that message, I walked out in the foyer. And I think his brother Kevin came up to me and said, there's a lady here that's asking for money. She's asking for a hotel. She's asking for gas. She's asking for some things. So I went and talked to her. I told her, you know, our policy is not to give out money, and we don't help out with hotels anymore. And I don't have any money, but I could show you how to trust Jesus as your Savior. That's what I told her. She said she would go out in the parking lot and ask some people for money there. You may have seen her holding the sign. I didn't tell her no. I didn't tell her to leave or anything. So she held the sign on the sidewalk. I tried to talk with her husband, but he didn't speak English well enough to understand. I tried to witness to him. I thought, okay, God, if anything is obvious, this is obvious. I just preached this message on this. I have got to tell them how to be saved. I can't just ignore this. That'd be terrible to preach something and then do the opposite of it. So I said, okay, God, I know exactly what you want me to do. You want me to witness to him? So I witnessed to him, and he didn't understand. So I went back and talked to her and tried to witness to her. Her husband walked over and asked her what I was saying, and I gave him a tract, and she told him what I was telling her about being saved and how we're sinners and to go to heaven. He got mad. He wadded the tract up. I don't know what he did with it. He walked back to the car, and they left, and he was angry. You know, sometimes the truth is unpopular. Sometimes it's not what people are looking for, and they got mad. I want to share this with you. It doesn't concern us directly, but eventually it will. So I want you to be praying about it. There's a law that is being pushed through or trying. People are trying to get a law to go through in California. It's called AB 2943. And I'll be discreet how I read this law that the legislator there is trying to pass. But I want you to understand that the truth is not popular. The Bible is not popular. Jesus is not popular. But we still need to tell the truth, and we need to live the truth. So AB 2943, it labels conversion therapy as a fraudulent business practice. Basically, it's this. If someone says that they are homosexual or transvestite or something like that, and they go for help to a preacher or to a counselor, this law would make that illegal to say that, to try to help them, to try to help them to figure things out. That's what this law is doing. It's directed at any aspects of counseling or ministry services in which there's an exchange of money. The most obvious would be professional counselors. I'm taking this from Pastor Chappell wrote this last week. The most obvious would be professional counselors, but it could also include a church retreat for which money is paid. So if we have a marriage retreat, and somebody pays money to go to a marriage retreat, and something is taught at the marriage retreat about God's plan is one man and one woman for life, then we, according to this law, would be breaking the law. Something that we really need to pray about, because the lost world does not like the truth. During the hearing about this law, in the California Assembly chamber, many people testify that they struggled with these issues, but they changed through counseling to biblical-style relationships or to their biological gender, and were thankful and glad that they did. The testimony of these people, however, was completely ignored by our intolerant state legislature. If this bill is passed, it would make it impossible for people like those who gave testimony to receive the help they sought if any money were exchanged in the process. And he goes on to say, because of the broad-sweeping language of the bill, it could be used to ban the sale of books that provide teaching on what the Bible says, or even the Bible itself. And that's a bill that is in the legislature right now in California. The Bible encourages refraining from any sexual activity outside of marriage, and it offers hope for change through Christ. So what is to stop the state from eventually saying, you can't sell the Bible because it provides, and in quotes, fraudulent advice, and that is the way this bill is worded. This bill violates, AB 2943 violates the First Amendment and could very well be used to ban sales of books and church events that help people live according to their faith. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we see the example here in the Bible, and you see Peter that just went ahead and preached the truth even though it was unpopular. He stood for the truth even though it was unpopular. The disciples preached the truth even though it was unpopular. They were warned not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were beaten and thrown into prison. But I want you to see what happened as a result of their bold witness, as a result of them just deciding, we're going to preach the truth. We're going to stand for the truth. What happened? Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 4. This is awesome. This is why we're preaching this series and God. Look what happened. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men, look at this, was about 5,000. About 5,000 people got saved because Peter and John just said, I'm just going to preach the truth. We're just going to do this. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to do what's right. If Jesus said it, we're going to do it. Later on in chapter 4, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They said, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, we're going to speak in the name of Jesus. Eventually, they're thrown into prison. Eventually, they're beaten. And eventually, they lost their lives because they refused to change their story. They preached about Jesus. They preached about Jesus dying and rising again. They preached the resurrection. They preached about eternal life. People were getting saved. In this case, 5,000, about 5,000 people getting saved. So that's the message. Here's two questions and we're done. Are you willing to be a Christian even if it means you won't be popular? Let that sink in for just a minute. Are you willing to be a Christian even though it means you won't be popular? Now, you may be popular in some circles. There's some places where you'll be popular. If you love God, you're going to be, I don't know if you'll be popular here, but people are going to respect that here. Right? Our goal is not to be popular. That usually ends up going the wrong direction. But if you're popular, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you speak the truth in church, We're going to look at that and say, that's a good thing. But not everywhere is that going to be the case. At your school, that may not be the case. At work, that may not be the case. Are you willing to be a Christian, even when it's not popular? Are you willing to share the gospel, even when it's not popular? Are you willing to tell people about Jesus, even though it means people may not like you for what you say? I think this is a challenge for us. I want to be like Peter. I so much want, in some areas, I'm already like him in a lot of areas. You know, where I open my mouth and I put my foot in my mouth before I think about it, and I talk before I think things through. I'm a lot like him in so many ways. But I want to be like him in this way, where I just decide, you know, I'm going to live for God, no matter what everybody else says. Even if all my friends decide to do something else, I'm going to live my life for God. God called me to preach when I was young, and so many of my friends, there was a group of us, probably about 10 or 12, about my age, and we growing up in school, we had a preacher boys class, and there was a bunch of us that wanted to get out of class, so we were in the preacher boys class, and we got to go. It was awesome, and most of them aren't in ministry. I don't know that, maybe a couple that have decided, I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. Let me just challenge you. Just do what's right, no matter what everybody else says, no matter what anybody else does. Go ahead and just preach the truth, teach the truth. Let's keep sharing the gospel with people. Let's don't change based on what's popular or what's not popular. The disciples, they preached the truth, even though it wasn't popular. Father, I pray that you'd help us to do the same thing. Lord, I know that it's a challenge sometimes. And in different situations, sometimes it's easier, sometimes it's harder based on the situation that we're in. Sometimes we're in situations where people put more pressure on us and it's hard. Our nation is changing so quickly, and we're finding that it's becoming increasingly hostile toward Christians and people who believe the truth. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you would help us to just decide, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ no matter what anybody else thinks. I'm going to speak the truth, even if it's not popular. Lord, I pray that you just help us to make, it's a simple decision, but I pray that you'd help us to make that decision tonight. I'm just going to live for Christ. I know Jesus isn't popular, but I'm going to live for him. And I know the truth isn't popular, but I'm going to speak it, and I'm going to do it. Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us just to make that decision. And then I pray that you would help us to stand by that. And I pray that you would help us to have a relationship with you that's close enough with you and strong enough with you to help us to be able to stand, like the Bible says in Ephesians, in the evil day, having done all, to stand.